So if you will, turn to John, where we have begun for the last few weeks, John chapter 10, verses 14 through 16, and then verse 26. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice. I pray that you're thinking on this during the week, and this is a part of your own prayer and study right now, that you want to hear the voice of the Lord. They will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Then verse 26, but you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Amen. As you make your way through this life and this journey called the life of the believer, knowing Christ, walking with Him, God in His relationship with us, in His relationship with you, He communicates in various ways, as we have mentioned, and will continue to. Today is not as much about the different ways, though there will be a little bit of that, the ways that He communicates with us, as it is the intensity. The intensity. For there are three levels of intensity, or three modes, if you will, of speaking. And I'm not talking about the various ways, like through other people, through His Word, you know, in circumstances, and all of those things. But God, in His relationship with us, speaks to us in three different intensities. It's something that the Lord has given me that I want to lay out for you this morning that is very simple when you see it, and yet I believe it's going to provide a sort of a matrix or a framework, if you will, that you'll remember this and you'll be able to understand better how God communicates with us. Always, first of all, through His Word. For we find that God shouts. There are the shouts of God, and then at the other end of the spectrum, there are the whispers of God. And then in between, there is an entire range of intensity of the voice of God, but it is what I'm just calling the in-between, but I will narrow it down to the teaching voice of the Lord. It's the normal voice of the Lord, because a shout is extreme, right? And a whisper is extreme. But the normal voice, that just as you and I communicate with each other, we don't go around shouting at each other all the time, hopefully. And we don't go around demanding you to get close for a whisper all of the time, but we speak in plain language that's easy to understand with one another all of the time. And so I want to walk us through these three aspects so that we understand them, and then I want to make some application of them for our lives today. Remembering always, as we have already covered, that you must position yourself through faith to hear God speak. We will see several times that God indeed shouts or declares or speaks boldly certain things in order to get man's attention. I'm going to very quickly, just a paragraph about each, the shouts of God, the whispers of God, and the teaching voice of God, the in-between voice, and then we're going to go a little more depth into all three that we might understand them. His shouts. You say, what do you mean by the shouts of God? God's shouts, generally, not always, because there is a third area, but God's shouts generally revolve around the most critical and important themes that are involved in knowing Him and in reading His Word. In other words, eternal truths that have the most impact upon the soul of man. The most impact upon your life. So God shouts, and we'll understand this better in a moment, but God shouts concerning salvation. He shouts concerning the judgment to come. He even shouts in the beginning through creation and several other themes. And we'll see that the unbeliever can't even complain that God does not speak. They may choose to, through hardness of heart, to not hear it. They may choose to reject it, but they cannot truly deny. When they stand before God on judgment day, the unbeliever will not be able to say, God never spoke to me. Because the Bible tells us in more than one place that God speaks through creation. And he speaks loudly enough and clearly enough that if we will put away the deception that has been used to brainwash our minds, and we will come as we are born to do. It is within us to worship the Creator, and it is within us to stand in awe of his creation. We will see that God speaks loudly. In Psalms, we hear it this way: the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. So creation around us is speaking all the time, and it is declaring the glory of God. We're not going to turn there, but in Romans, it's up there for you. But in Romans 1, 20 through 21, we're told that even believers are without excuse, because God's attributes, even his eternal attributes, are revealed through creation, through studying and observing creation. You can learn so many things about the attributes of God. So God shouts in many ways, beginning with creation. And we'll see what I mean by him shouting at salvation and several other things in a moment. We'll go to the other end of the spectrum for a moment. God whispers. He whispers for a reason. If you go through the Word of God, you'll find there were times that he spoke in a still, small voice. It's a whisper. He spoke to Elijah in the cave with a still, small voice. Samuel, the young man, as he was ministering before the Lord in the Holy of Holies, and he kept hearing his voice called, Samuel, Samuel. Eli was right next door, and he could not hear it because it's a whisper. The call of God on a life comes often. The call to service comes as a whisper. His whispers are whispered for a reason. If one rejects the shouts of God, think about what it means to have the privilege to come before someone important and to speak with them. If someone rejects the shouts of God, why should he have the privilege of an intimate whisper? Something being whispered to your ears only and to no one else's ears. The whisper of God is for close friends. The whisper is for close friends, and it's reserved for those who seek him. Those who desire to hear a word spoken to their heart. Those who love him and want to be close to him and intimate with him. You know, it's a truth that in our society, in our culture, all around us, the things that we love the most, and I'm speaking worldly here, the things that distract us, the things that we love the most often involve a fairly high level of distraction and sound, noise. Let me say it this way. The high decibels of the world make it difficult to hear the whispers of God. The high decibels of the world make it hard to hear the whispers of God. So we have the shouts of God, and we have the whispers of God, and then the in-betweens of God are compared to normal conversation. And I am narrowing it down to the voice of the teacher, the master, as he teaches his disciples. Remember that Jesus called his disciples, and for them it was like a shout, though he didn't have to raise his voice when he said, come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. It must have been dramatic. For think, they walked away from their livelihoods to follow him day by day, to keep their eyes upon him, to listen to him speak. It was all about speech. It's all about the word. And when he would teach, People would hang upon every word that he spoke. He was a master teacher. And they would stand in awe. They would say, no one ever spoke like this man before. And so the in-betweens are the teachings of the Lord include, I want to make this very simple, all of the things where God teaches you, and this is primarily in His Word, as we're going to see, where He guides you, He convicts you of sin, He strengthens you in the inner man, He reveals patterns in the Word to you and principles in the Word. He tells you how to grow as a disciple as you are doing what? Studying and learning the Word of God. He reveals His ways. He reveals His principles. He gives wisdom where we lack wisdom. And in all of these things, He's not having to shout. He got your attention when He shouted in salvation. And He's not having to whisper something for no one else to hear. He's speaking plainly just as He did on the mountain as He spoke to the multitudes. Every time, let me make this very plain, every time that you pick up this word, I'm going to try to make something so real to you this morning. Every time you pick up this living word, you're not picking up an ordinary book. Every time you pick up this word and you read it, He is talking to you. He is speaking to you. Learn to see it that way and it will become real to you. You're not just reading the record, you're hearing the voice because He says that it's His voice. And so you're hearing what He's saying and what He's teaching. And beloved, the shouts aren't hard to hear because He's going to break through heaven and earth if He has to get your attention. The whispers are more difficult to hear, but this is not difficult to hear. You say it's so hard to hear from God. No, it's not hard to hear from God. You can hear from Him every single day by reading one paragraph in this word or more. Because every time you pick it up and you open it up, God opens His mouth. And He's speaking it to your heart. And He's teaching you as His own disciple. He's teaching you what you need to know for this day. So let's go back and let's look at these in just a little more depth. Shouts of God. There are a number of revelations of the Lord in the Word of God that I would place into this category, more than just two, but I want to especially lift out two this morning because I said those are the things that have to do with the most impact upon your life and your soul, especially your salvation. And so there's one mountain peak like this in the Old Testament that stands out, and there's one mountain peak of the shout of God in the New Testament that stands out. In the Old Testament, we find that Mount Sinai is where God revealed Himself to Moses and to the children of Israel, and He gave them His law, revealing His holiness, which was meant to show them their need in order to bring them to Him. Let's turn very quickly to Exodus chapter 20. Verses 18 through 21, I just want to show you, the shouts of God are dramatic. You may have one time in your life that you hear the shouts of God, and it's when He's trying so hard to get your attention so that you'll wake up, amen? So that you'll surrender to Him in the first place. Because you're so I'm not talking about you, because we are so wrapped up in this world and the things of this world, and we're so hard-hearted and we're so addicted to everything else but God that we can't seem to hear Him. That's why He says we are lost and must be found. And in His grace and His mercy, He finds us. But in the process of teaching us this, in chapter 20 of Exodus, before they ever knew Him as a Savior, before they ever could know Him in this kind of mercy and grace that comes through Jesus, He reveals Himself to Moses in order to give the people the law. But the people were present, and they didn't want to hear the voice of God. It was so astoundingly loud and frightening to them. In verse 18, now all the people witnessed the thunderings, the lightning flashes, The sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and they stood afar off. Then they said to Moses, you speak with us and we will hear, but let not God speak with us lest we die. And Moses said to the people, do not fear, for God has come to test you, and that his fear may be before you, so that you may not sin. So the people stood afar off. This is the tragedy of lostness. So the people stood afar off, but Moses drew near the thick darkness where God was. There's so much in that that we don't even comprehend. God was shouting from Mount Sinai, I am a holy God. I am a righteous God. He was revealing from this mountaintop his law, his expectations, his requirements. God declared his law in order to pierce our hearts and to show us how far we fall short of his glory and to reveal our need and to bring us to repentance. Beloved, without the revelation of his law, salvation would mean nothing to us. Without the revelation of his law, mercy and grace would mean nothing to us if our hearts were not pierced first by his law. Now, I don't want to spend time on this, but I want to just interject. That's where most of the church world is today, and why Christianity is so weak in our nation today is because they try to appreciate or to celebrate somehow his grace, but they've not first been pierced by his law and recognize that they need a savior and that they have to repent. Grace is preached without the call to repentance. And it doesn't work that way. So God shouts to man so that man might know his own state of poverty, his poverty of spirit, his bankruptcy when it comes to holiness. So from the Old Testament mountain of Sinai, God shouted his glory, his law, his holiness, his demands, his righteousness. And then years go by with man stumbling and falling and stumbling and falling, and the great silence of God between the Old Testament and the New Testament for 400 years. And then God shouts once again from Mount Moriah, which is also Calvary, from a mountain that we find where the Son of God is crucified. And if you turn to Luke chapter 23, verses 44 through 49, you know these words. Now it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour, when the sun was darkened and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Having said this, he breathed his last. So when the centurion saw what had happened, he glorified God, saying, certainly this was a righteous man. And one of the other gospels revealed him, saying, certainly this was the Son of God. And the whole crowd who came together to that sight, seeing what had been done, beat their breasts and returned. But all his acquaintances and the women who followed him from Galilee stood at a distance watching these things. You cannot deny the shouts of God, the declarations of God. If you read the four Gospels and each account of the crucifixion, comparing and thinking about the Old Testament mountaintop where the law was revealed, and then you come to the law and you come to Mount Calvary in the New Testament, you will hear loudly the declaration of God. It's the only way you ever came to him in the first place, is that he cut through all of the hardness of heart. He cut through all of the noise of life around you. He confronted you with the cross as the remedy for your need for a Savior, And he showed himself to be the all-sufficient Son of God, able to say that he carried our sins to the cross with him. You will hear the agony loudly. If you read the Gospels, you will hear the agony and the pain that was felt by the Son of God for your sins as they were laid upon him on the tree. What I'm saying is this is loud in the sense it is not hard to hear this. It is proclaimed through radio programs, television programs, people witnessing to one another, missionaries, books, pamphlets, tracts, everything you can think of, confronting people day after day, week after week, year after year of their lives. You have to close your ears and you have to harden your heart not to hear this shout of God, the shout from Calvary that says, my God, why have you forsaken me? And then says, it is finished, or paid in full, tetelestai, as it says in the Greek, paid in full. If you read this, you will hear the shout of God as he declares these things. This message is only hidden to those who will not hear. And when you do hear it, it is God speaking to you. It shouts to the sinner, be saved. It shouts to the world and says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It shouts to the backslider, saying, repent and be restored, come back. Likewise, it shouts to the prodigal son, come home where you belong. It shouts to those who are oppressed, I am your burden bearer. And I am your chain breaker for those who are bound in chains and bondage. It shouts liberty, liberty to those who are being set free. It shouts to those who are seeking God in so many different places and different philosophies and different ways. It says there is only one way. Jesus declares, I am the way. No one comes to the Father except through me. I am the way to life. The way is narrow. The way to life is narrow. And it is, there are few who find it, but broad is the way that leads to destruction. These are the things that are shouted and that irritate and anger those who are enemies of God and pierce the heart of those who are being drawn to him. From Mount Sinai, it shouts the holiness of God and the law of God in order to slay our self-righteousness and our pride. And then it shouts from Calvary, grace, grace, amen. Grace, amen. And mercy, amen. The free gift of amen. God. It amen. Shouts, we are saved by grace amen. Through faith, yes. Not through works. It is the amen. Gift of God, lest we boast. These shouts, beloved, are hard to miss. They are hard not to hear. They are missed by those who stop up their ears in rebellion and refuse the kingship of Christ and his authority. But once a man or woman, a boy or a girl bows before, can I say it this way? Because it's not gentle. It's like a hurricane of truth. When you come before the Lord, it's like bowing before a spiritual hurricane that can save you or destroy you. And when a man or a woman or a boy or a girl yields, see, a lot of people aren't saved today, but there is no hurricane. They just make a little decision and keep living the same old way. No, when you go through a hurricane, it changes something in you. And it may strip you of worldly possessions. When you come to the hurricane of salvation, God does a major work on the inside Amen. That you will never, ever, ever recover from, praise Amen. God. Amen. Because you don't want to recover from it. Amen. And once that person bows before the truth of Christ and is born from above by the Spirit of God, he then becomes a disciple. Before I leave the shouts of God, let me say that even in your walk with the Lord, you may have a time or two, it should not be the normal. where you've gotten dull of hearing or whatever, and God's wanting to make a major change in your life, or you're maybe even going in a direction that is so dangerous spiritually that he has to shout again to warn you. He may shout through circumstances. He may shout through pain. He may shout through stripping you of things. There are all different manners of ways that God shouts. It's always to get our attention. But in the daily walk of those who love the Lord, we are now disciples, like those who followed him around the Sea of Galilee. And as you read the Word of God, you're feeding on truth. And the shouts now become the normal voice of God. As he daily is teaching you and instructing you, he has your attention now. He doesn't have to shout. It's like if you would picture him sitting on the Mount of Olives, and all of the people are gathered, the multitude are gathered, they're sitting. He's not whispering to each one individually, and he's not shouting to get anybody's attention. He's just speaking loud enough for everyone to hear. This is the way our daily life is in the Lord. And it's through the dwelling of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that the Lord instructs us in various areas of discipleship, in the disciplines of knowing God. He tells us as a master teacher, you don't have to have any special gift to hear. It's not hard to hear. As I said a moment ago, the teaching voice of God, you pick up the book and you start studying, you start reading, and he tells you how to live for him. He tells you how to honor him, how to glorify him. He tells you how to relate to others in love, compassion, forgiveness. He gives you his parameters. He says, you go this far and no further in certain areas. This behavior beyond this behavior dishonors me and violates my word, my law. He'll take you back to that law to remind you what his demands are, but then he'll give you grace and mercy where you fail, but he'll also empower you by his Spirit to more fully obey. He'll give you wisdom when you need wisdom in life circumstances that no one can tell you which way to go or what to do. He'll tell you how to pray. He will tell you what the end times are going to be like, what to expect in the future. He will tell you about heaven and hell so that you will have understanding about the unseen realm of the devil and demons and angels and all hosts of things that are in the unseen realm, and how we are in a warfare and how you're to stand in the face of battle. You see so far what I am saying? It's not hard. He's speaking. He's speaking all the time, but these are the necessary things. This is basic. This is discipleship, and it lasts all of our life. These are the necessary things. This is, and I want you to remember this phrase because we're going to come back to it. This is a handbook. This is a handbook, except it's not an ordinary handbook. It's a living thing. And so right here, no, he's not telling you which house to buy. He's not telling you whether you should take that new job or not. He's not telling you what to do about that relationship, that particular relationship. Is this the wife for you or the husband for you or not? That's not what he's teaching in his daily, normal teaching voice. But it's all important because even when he does begin to whisper to you personal things, he will use this word to do it. He will use this word to do it. He will not stray from it. What I want you to see is, first of all, that the shouts of God can reach you even above the noise of this world, the noise of daily life, and even the noise of your own thoughts. The shouts of God are often accompanied by circumstances that are troublesome, jarring, even painful. How many people did not come to the Lord until they were on their knees, brokenhearted over some tragedy or some horrible set of circumstances in their life, and God finally got their attention and they cried out to Him and were saved? To come to a place, in order to get you to a place of hearing and surrender. Shouts of God, do that. Teaching voice requires a little more on your part. You must read. You must read the Word of God and even study it. And to those of you who say it's difficult for me to read, I would tell you today, I'm not making light of that difficulty, but I would tell you today that it is more important than any other thing in your life is that you devote yourself to learning to read the Word of God, and God will help you to do it. You learn, you study, you read, if it's one verse at a time, so that God can put His thoughts, His language, His Word within you. You must follow Him. See, this requires more. He shouted you down, if you will, in the first place. You didn't do anything. Now to hear this, you have to go to the Word, and you have to make it your life that you grow in His Word. You can't just learn about the cross and a few things and say, oh yes, I know that. And then somebody says, what were Daniel's three friends? Oh, I don't remember that. Or who did Noah take on the ark? Oh, I don't remember that. And how long did it rain? I don't remember that. And all of these things that we should learn, which has gone by the wayside in many ways, in times like Sunday school, and should come from teaching in the home. We learn the important things in the Word of God through every story in the Bible, because God's speaking to us through all of them. They are His alphabet. And you don't go around speaking with no P's. You don't go around speaking to one another with no Q's or no R's. You would sound funny if you were speaking and you were bleeping out certain letters of your alphabet and you couldn't speak them. You'd be talking to each other in gibberish. That's what it's like when we don't know and study the entirety of the Word of God. It's called learning the whole counsel of the Word of God. Amen. Because God is able to, if you take one or two verses and you try to build a teaching on that, you can get into all kinds of error and deception. You have to see what the Bible says about that subject from beginning to end. And so we come to this place where He's teaching us, we're following Him, and then we're being obedient to the things that He's teaching us in His Word. And then there is the whisper. There's the whisper. I want to clarify something. Sometimes we want to hear the whispers. We think that somehow we're hearing something independent of this Word. If God whispers to us, I want to hear God speak. I want to hear Him speak to me in a still small voice. I want to hear God talk to me, voice to ear. Because we tend to think that it will prove His reality in some way. Are you with me? Like, okay, I've read the Word all my life, but if God just speaks to me and says, I want you to do this or that, oh, when I've heard the voice of God, I'm going to know that that's real. No, if you did not learn that this was the voice of God in this book, and if these realities is daily teaching you, are not earth-shatteringly real to you, neither will His whisper be. And you will open yourself up to deception. Because you'll just want to hear something. And most often you'll want to hear something that's what you want Him to say. Something that you want to hear anyway. So that's an error that we can get into. There's something within our soul that draws us towards mystical things. You know, today there's a Christian Ouija board. Most of you in here know that the Ouija board is a tool of the enemy. It's the occult, and it's damaging, it's dangerous, and it's evil. But now, there are Christian people that have, there's a Christian guy, supposedly Christian, who came up with the idea for a Christian Ouija board so that you can sit and you can hear the Holy Spirit speak to you, because it will move around to the different, and it will spell out, it will always give you an answer to what you want to hear. And he says it that way. I've developed this so that, because people want to hear the Lord speak so clearly, and it's so difficult. And the Holy Spirit can use this Ouija board just as well as the enemy. So now you can buy a Christian, I don't advise it, a quote Christian Ouija board. We are drawn to the mystical. That's why Christians are so easily drawn to the occult. So I want to, in this last part of the message, I want to attempt an illustration concerning these voices. It's like I'm walking down the street and it's a bustling, noisy street. The crowd is noisy. There are many people. But over the noise, I hear the shouts of someone declaring free tickets to the ball game tonight. Free tickets to the ball game tonight. And I can hear that voice above all of the rest of the crowd. It gets through to me. I hear it and I understand it. And he says, just come through the turnstile and claim your free ticket. And so I turn and I push through the crowd and I push through the narrow turnstile and I get my ticket. It's not just to an event someday when I die, and now I'm speaking spiritually. My ticket, my salvation, is not just to an event. We're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, the Bible says, with the imagery. Paul uses the imagery of a great stadium, and they're cheering us on. But heaven is not just a great event someday. This ticket is not just an event that I'm going to go to. Salvation is not just getting a ticket to heaven. It's getting heaven, eternal life, into me right now.
Amen.
And Jesus said that. He said, eternal life is that they may know me. How about that? Eternal life is knowing him. And that's what that free gift is to me. So I've heard the shout, and I've turned and I've entered, and I've given a handbook. They give me a handbook with everything that I'm going to need to know about everything that's going on. And in this illustration, it's a handbook about baseball. Everything you ever wanted to know about baseball, and about this stadium, and a map of where the restrooms are, and where the concession stands are, and all of these things. And I enter this enormous stadium, and is filled with noisy, excited fans. People there, their voices are raised. It's shouting and it's loud, and there's entertainment blaring over the loudspeakers as people wait for the game to begin. And I take my seat between two very loud, irritating people, which is a picture sometimes of the church. I have to take my seat between irritating people, but people who are there for the same purpose, who love the same thing, and I have to learn to love them. And so I'm there in the middle of all of that noise and chaotic stuff. The game is beginning, and I notice a little ways over up in the stands is my best friend. He's become my best friend recently, but I don't know everything about him. But he sees me. He's one of those people you just want to be with him all the time. And he says, come up here. There's an empty seat. Come up here and sit by me. So I get up and I go and I sit next to him. And he says, hey, I see you got the handbook. Did you know I wrote it? And I'm like, no, you wrote the handbook? He says, yeah, I wrote the handbook. How do you like the stadium? I built it. Oh, wow, I didn't know you were so important. He said, you don't understand baseball. Everything's in the book. It's all in the handbook. He's like the master teacher. He's always telling me what I need to know in the moment. And it's all in the book. He wrote it. I can read it and I can hear his voice saying it because he wrote it. So it sounds like him in the writing. When I read this right here, it sounds like Jesus. Even in the Old Testament. Sounds like my friend. Sounds like my Lord. I've heard him shout and I hear him teaching, but there's more to it than that. And I can open that book in the middle of all of that chaos that's going on, even with all that noise, the shouts of the guy selling hot dogs and the screams of the fans as the game heats up. I find myself turning to various pages, finding answers that I need to know. And I can shut out all of that noise sitting right there. And as I read them in my head, I can just hear my friend's voice since he wrote the book. But you know what? He is, after all, not just an author. He's my friend. He's my friend, someone I love. And I didn't move to this seat just to sit by him and read his book. As important as it is. Did you know when I opened that book and I began reading it, I could just see him smile. He was thrilled to see that I cared enough to open his book and to use it. And it's filled with his voice. But you know, he's sitting right there next to me. And even with all of that chaos, I'm aware that he's there and that I have his instructions with me. And I think to myself, I did not move to this seat just to sit by him and read his book. And those disciples, they did not leave their nets just to follow him and be handed some scrolls and be told, now read these. They have everything for you. No, they sat with him. They listened intently because no one ever spoke like this man. Here's the thing. Here's the bottom line. I can sit in the stadium and I can hardly hear above the crowd. And I can open my handbook and I can read. But what I read raises questions. It raises personal questions. Things that aren't in the book. Where do I turn for this? I have questions about the relationship that I'm in. I'm not sure that I even have peace about it. And I know that my heart can deceive me. Or I have questions about this new venture, this new job, or this new investment. Or if I want to move to a different area, or do I take this house or that house? What do I do about that person who hates me so much? I get principles in the Word how to respond, but I want to know exactly what to say to that person. I need a word. I need something that my friend sitting right next to me didn't put in the book because he can only give it to me personally. I need guidance. I need deeper understanding. I need help with decisions. But my friend who is with me, now I'm speaking of the Lord, who also indwells me by his Spirit, is a little different than the friend in the ball game. The illustration falls short. His voice is harder to hear. In the illustration, his voice, I'll go a little further with that, his voice is harder to hear because of the noise. And on top of that, this is where the Lord is different, but I'm putting it on this friend. He whispers because what he wants to say is only for my ears. It's not for the person. You know how close those seats are in a ball game? And there's somebody sitting right there. If they even move, they're brushing the back of your head. And if he turns and he tells me something personal, I don't want them to hear it. It's not for their ears. And he doesn't want them to hear it. He whispers it because it's only for me. It's only for me. And so he whispers, and he's not just a friend as in a pal. He's not just a friend in this world. He's not just a friend like a buddy. He's the all-wise, omnipotent, almighty God who will only be heard by those who care enough to really, really listen. So he whispers. And how do I hear his whisper? In that ball game, it's so noisy, I have to turn to him. I have to look at his face. I may have to even read his lips. Or I may have to get up so closely that his lips are close to my ear. I have to lean in like John did in the upper room, leaning on Jesus' breast. I have to lean in and get real close and put my ear up, and then I hear his voice whisper. Sometimes the noise is so loud, he says it's quieter out on the concession levels, or out in the parking lot, or it's quieter behind or under the stairwell. Meet me there. Meet me there. It's a secret place. Elijah knew what this meant. And he heard God whispering to him in the cave, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Samuel, as I already mentioned, heard him in that still small voice, calling his name, calling him to become prophet of God. David heard it as he sat with his shepherd, with his sheep in the wilderness, and as he hid from King Saul in the caves of Adullam, and at various times he writes about it in the Psalms as the Lord speaks to his heart. Jeremiah heard it, and this whisper was different because sometimes he tells us to observe. And God told Jeremiah, "Go down to the potter's house, and there I will speak to you." And what he does is he watches the potter, and as he sees what the potter is doing, the Lord is showing something, and it's speaking to him. Only to him. And I have to turn from the noise, and I have to turn from the excitement, and I have to make my way to that secret place, the hiding place. Yeah. Jesus called it the prayer closet, beneath the stairwell, under the shadow of the Almighty. And he says, "My sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, and they will not follow the voice of a stranger." But I must stress to you this morning, if I had not read the basics in the handbook, if I don't learn the principles, if I don't learn his voice, his sound, his word, then I can't trust what I hear in the secret place. Because in this book, I learn what I need so that I can discern, because there are other voices. There are my own voices, the voices of my thoughts that get in the way. Yeah. And then I say, "Is that me or is that God?" And there's the voice of the enemy of my soul and demonic spirits that whisper. And then I have to say, "Is that me or is that God or is that the enemy?" The only way I can discern that is if I have built my life and my hearing upon every nuance of truth that's in this word, then I know what his sounds like, and I won't listen, as he said, to the voice of a stranger. I will only listen to the voice of the shepherd, and I'll be able to discern what is the Lord. So how do I apply this and make it real? I come to his word as a living entity. I come to this book, not as a book, not as a record, not as a history book. It's all of these things. Not as poetry, not as prophecy, not as all of those things. I come to it as the living word, the speaking word of the Lord himself.
Amen.
I come to his word as a living reality, more than a handbook, and I have, the Lord says in his word, "I have exalted my word above my name." That's how important this is. It's a living language. You know, there are some languages today that are called dead languages. They no longer are spoken by people. They can be learned, but they're dead languages. That's what religion will give you, a dead language. But the living word of God will give you his living language. Amen. It is breath. It's manna from heaven to eat. I feed, I learn, and I hear. I feed, I learn, and I hear. And I learn to hear this as his own word. Then when he wants to whisper, when he wants to speak something personally, I can recognize his voice and discern whether it is him or not. Most of you have heard the shout of God and you responded with surrender because that's the only response to the shout of God. You've been taught many things from the Word of God by the Master who is the teacher. And maybe you've not come to him in the Word to hear him speak personally the way he desires to. Our last scripture is John 5:39. Jesus is talking to the religious leaders and they're rejecting his voice. And yet they've studied the Old Testament scriptures all of their lives. He said, "You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me." In other words, he was revealed through the Old Testament prophets and they should have recognized him. "You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life." There are people today that search the scriptures every day, thinking that just by learning the doctrines in these scriptures, they have eternal life. And then they can argue, they can have debates with people from other backgrounds over baptism, over different ways of doing things, and over what they believe about once saved, always saved, or not. And they split hairs because they're into just dividing the word in order to prove something and not listening to it as the voice of the Lord. "You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me. But you are not willing to come to me that you may have life." Real life. Eternal life. Jesus said this to them, and he was not taking away from the scriptures. He wasn't saying, "Come to me apart from the scriptures." He said, he was pointing them to the scriptures because the scriptures point directly to him. He's saying, "You didn't recognize that they're pointing to me. Now come to me that you may have life." Those scriptures say, see, he's sitting in that seat with the empty one right next to him. Now come sit by him. You've got the handbook. But come up here and sit in the empty seat right next to him so that you can hear him speak spirit to spirit, heart to heart, his voice to your ear so that you can draw near to him. I believe that all three modes of the voice of God are necessary, not just two of them. And not just one of them. Some people live in the first one. God shouted me down. I got saved in 1973 or whatever it may be. And praise God, but there's been no growth, no discipleship. I know I was a sinner and I got saved. That's it. That's not the will of God. Then there's the teaching voice that should be all of our lives, him instructing us in the word and teaching us his language and his thoughts and his ways. And we come and we become a disciple and follow him. It's necessary. But the third is necessary also. We come to him. We come to him. Yes, we do come to him through these. But we come then to him. That's our entire goal, is to come to him. And to have such a close relationship that he speaks spirit to spirit. Amen. Father, I thank you, Lord God, that you speak to us and that you're speaking even now. And I come and we lift up our hearts to you, Lord God. And Lord, for those who are hungry and thirsty for a deeper place in you, Lord, bring them up there to that empty seat right next to you and whisper into their ear, Lord God. Help us to feed upon your word and to grow in it, Lord, that we're able to recognize the things that you want to show us and that we're not deceived by our own thoughts or other thoughts. Teach us, Lord God, day by day, and help us, Lord God. I pray for those who are in the sound of my voice that they could not be satisfied without the still small voice of God, the whisper. Thank you for this day. Bury this seed deep in the hearts, in the good soil of these believers, Lord God, that the enemy cannot steal it away and let it produce much fruit. And I believe it will accomplish that for which you send it. In Jesus' awesome name we pray. Amen.